Some refreshing, I wrote refreshing or practical new sales thoughts that I think can help, especially with sharing with your team or whoever's doing sales. I always like these things. It kind of grounds you when you get a little too complicated, go down the complicated rabbit hole. These types of things help ground you and bring you back. And then also a very neat exercise that Stephen was doing in his fabric group, but I think everybody should do this. So he's going to share how that works. And we'll jump on in. But first, a couple incredible partners. These guys are partners with not only the podcast, but also just our industry in general. They help so many print shops all over the world. First up, Easy Way. Easy Way's monthly giveaway, easyway.com/giveaway. Just drop your email in, set a reminder the first of every month to put it in. Why? Because it's a $250 prize that they give away each month for their products. Easy Way makes reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with their systems, chemicals, and equipment. Make sure to head to easyway.com/giveaway. And then while you're on the website, though, their resources I've checked out are awesome. They have so many helpful resources, especially if you're getting started or you're stuck on something, or you can always call them too. Such a great team.
All right, Graphic Source. If you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you should hit up Graphic Source. Graphic Source offers industry-leading outsource options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management software. So when it comes to SEPs, mocks, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service, there's no better company in our industry to work with. They have over 40 years in the game, and they have a proven track record of success. You can hit up Graphic Source and get 50% off your first vector SEP or embroidery order. And yeah, thanks so much, Graphic Source. We appreciate you.
Last but not least, Stalls. Stalls is giving away 20% off your next DTF transfer order. Use the code HUSTLER20. If you're ready to take your custom apparel to the next level, Stalls is the leader in heat printing solutions. Whether you're a small business getting started or someone scaling, they've got a lot of solutions to help you. A lot of solutions, actually. Not only physical things, but events, and in-person meetups, equipment transfers, and support to help your business grow. And as Stephen, you were just at one recently. We went to one, was that this year or last year? Anyway, really, really cool to see behind the scenes there. So stalls.com, HUSTLER20 is the code to use. All right, let's jump in. I slept 3 hours.
You slept 3 hours?
Dude, we've been having good baby sleep, and then it was just like hour and a half, 2 hour wake up over and over. I was like, what is going on? But I just got to remind myself, it's not a formula.
You called me like the first month and you're like, hey dude, we're getting good sleep. Things are good. And I'm like, hey, that's awesome. And it's okay.
How things have changed.
It's all right. It's the beginning. The pictures are super cute. She kind of looks like you. Kind of looks like your brother.
She changed. It's crazy how fast they change and grow. It's like little, you know, like how puppies, they're like, whoa, they just double in weight. Then they grow super quick. Babies are very similar. Dude, you've got a lot of, well, first of all, you're like everywhere. I didn't know what you were doing. Every time my wife asks, she's like, whoa, what's Steven doing here? I'm like, I don't know. How's things going there? I know you got, like you're moving and, you know, getting the house set up. What's going on?
Buying a house as a business owner is very hard. We can talk about that. Dude, very, very difficult. Which that could be something we riff on. We are getting ready for back to school football season. And I've just been on the road prepping with a lot of our big retailers. And so I've been, yeah, it's been the craziest. It's an awesome summer for us because I don't have to raise capital this summer, which thank God is fantastic. That's like a pretty big deal. I've been raising capital for several years in the summers and don't have to do that. But our customer base is getting bigger. Our clients are getting bigger. It's kind of like this new league. And yeah, just been on the front lines going to visit a bunch of our big clients that we've been working with. So been doing that. Things are nuts, man, but the good kind of nuts, you know?
Is that how you think? So your most value add time right now is those big retail stores.
Yeah, I mean, you are your best salesman. We do have an awesome sales team, but the more that I can interface with leaders of companies that can spend millions and millions of dollars with us, that is where I need to be spending all my time. So just spending as much time as possible with them and being in their boardrooms. I mean, we were, our people know this, our products are selling in Dick's Sporting Goods. And so I got to go to Dick's headquarters this week and meet with all of their buyers and talk with all of them. And you're just on a different kind of plane of world and how they operate, you know? And you're literally sitting with this team that's your age, and they can spend hundreds and millions of dollars with you if they wanted. Like, that's it. So yeah, that's where I'm spending my time.
That's pretty cool. Tell me about the house thing.
Buying a house as an entrepreneur is really tough. So I'm buying a house, and you know, when you go through all the financing stuff, you get pre-approved, all that stuff's going good. I have awesome credit. They have to start digging into everything and basically underwriting this house. And it's like, it's a big loan, you know? What starts to happen is all of your business stuff starts to pop up. So for instance, we have a capital, you know, we have Capital One Business Sparks. It's still tied to my name. And so it still like pops up when they run reports. And so they're like, hey, Steven, like you have this credit card that you've charged like $1.5 million on. we need to make sure this is off your record for underwriting, because like this will screw with your debt ratio. And so like, okay, we need every bank statement that is owned by the business.
Is an understatement.
Understatement, right? Because they're just trying to say like, can you afford this house? And of course, like I'm an employee of the company. I have all this stuff. And so I basically have to like give them, you know, every bank statement for every bank that Campus Inc. manages, letters that show that I own the business, but the business is, you know, has the bank accounts. Those aren't my bank accounts. Basically show that the business pays those credit cards down every month and doesn't have any issues. And that is not tied to my name. In the middle of this, like we're raising capital, our equity pools are changing. There's like all this stuff. And so they have to see like, what happened in 2024? What happened in 2025? What happened in 2026? Okay. Why did your equity percentage change there? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And I think my lender and my realtor, I'm so exposed right now. There's nothing they don't know about me at this point. And like our accountants have to get involved. It's very difficult to own a business and buy real estate like when you're doing through traditional one. Now, I'm going to get it. Everything's fine. There's just a lot that goes into underwriting.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I never, when we bought our Chicago place, I was also running Printavo. So I don't have the experience of buying a place as a W-2 employee. When I bought that one, I was full-time on Printavo. Yeah, I was full-time on Printavo. So I also had to jump through, because it's like they're underwriting you, which means they're underwriting the business. And yeah, the amount of documentation that I was sending over. But at the same time, I didn't know, maybe this is normal for if you were just an employee. But it seems like that would be simpler. It's just, you know, a W-2 and...
Yeah. Well, I am a W-2 employee. I also have commercial real estate. I also have a consulting thing. I also like, so I have money that just kind of flows in, and they can like look at your tax records. There's also some stuff like if you write off too much stuff on your taxes, it can hurt your debt ratio, because they're like, there's so much stuff that goes into it. And so I've been learning a ton about it, but you know, and it's kind of like, it's a bigger house. It's kind of a bigger loan. And so, you know, I'm learning just, wow, this is difficult. So it'll be fun though. I'm pumped. It's got everything I want in it. So.
That's sick. All right. Ferg's camp begins in winter. I don't know if you'll be in the winter. Spring 2027.
I don't want to jinx it. I almost don't want this to publish like a close next week.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, everything goes well. And movers, Bruce, have you ever gotten Packers?
Okay, I've never experienced the joy that people talk about of someone that's packing and unpacking for you. I've always did that, and then the movers come grab everything and drop it off. But are you trying to do the person comes and just handles everything route?
You know, like in the spirit of delegation. And so, like, have you ever heard of TaskRabbit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So,
TaskRabbit a lot.
Okay. So, on TaskRabbit, you can hire someone to hang a TV.
You can hire someone to wrap. I hired someone to wrap GIFs one year.
Because
I was just like, huge family, Filipino family, tons of GIFs for everybody. I'm working a ton. I can't imagine wrapping this. I don't want to have Chrisette do it. So, this lady came by, did it slow as molasses to build as much as she can, but it was good. She was good. She was talented.
So you can go on TaskRabbit and you can hire packers. Cause like moving is one thing, and I'm on a third story in Chicago. I also have to figure out how to get a grand piano downstairs. That's a whole nother thing. I've paid more in moving this piano than I have in,
there are piano movers. I had.
Oh yeah. Oh, let me tell you those. Yeah, there are piano movers, and it is $1,000 to get that thing down to the from the third floor to the first floor, not to even put it on a truck. Anyways, I digress. But a TaskRabbit, they can come and they can pack for you, and it's only, you could probably find someone for $30 or $40 an hour, and they'll just like pack your kitchen, your closet, take everything off the walls, and like pack it nicely. And I honestly think that is, I'm gonna try and figure that out, because just packing is annoying. And sometimes I feel like you're packing in a rush. And if you don't pack well, then the unpack isn't good.
I'd love to experience the organizers. I've had a few people that have hired TaskRabbit organizers that dial it in, can get containers and like make it look like a beautiful, you know, well-placed kitchen or bathroom or whatever else. It sounds cool.
Anyways, that's just my rant on things that are happening amidst trying to figure out what we're doing this fall at Campus Inc. But yeah.
Okay. There's this old tweet I haven't shared, and I kind of like this. It's about sales. And I texted you this last night. I'm just going to read through it. I don't want to stop on each of the points. So I'll just read through it. I also shared it on the screen. So if you're watching on YouTube, you could just read it too. Number one, sales is a lot like golf. You can make it complicated as to be impossible, or you can simply walk up a hill and hit the ball. I've been leading and building sales orgs for a while, and my advice is just to always walk up and hit the ball. And I think that correlates to, you know, like you said, just send the email, send the GIF, send the thing. Don't overthink it. Don't try to automate and do all this crazy stuff. Text, send it, get the LinkedIn, follow up, go meet them, whatever it is. Number two, sales is about people and it's about problem solving. It's not about solutions or tech or chemicals or lines of code or whatever.
Artichokes.
It's about, yeah, it's about people and it's about solving problems. Number three, people buy four things and four things only ever. These are time, money, sex, and approval/peace of mind. If you're selling anything other than those four, you will fail. Number four, people buy aspirin always. They buy vitamins sometimes and at predictable times, sell aspirin. Number five, I say in every talk I give, all things being equal, people buy from their friends. So make everything else equal, then go make a lot of friends. And I think that matters, especially in a commoditized space where, you know, if you like someone, that's probably half of the deal is just liking someone and then wanting to do business with them. Number six, being valuable and useful is all you ever need to do to sell things. Help people out, send interesting posts, write business birthday cards, record videos, sharing your ideas for growing their business. Introduce people who would benefit from knowing each other, then get out of the way, expecting nothing in return. Do this consistently and authentically, and people will find ways to give you money, I promise. I think the best example of this is probably Ryan Moore. Number seven, no one cares about your quota, your payroll, your OPEX, your burn rate, etc. No one. They care about the problem you are solving for them. Which I always love that because, you know, sometimes people will try to justify the price when they give it. They're like, oh, well, you know, this is the, and it's, you know, like, doesn't matter from the customer perspective.
I'm just, I'm soaking it all in and laughing. I want to send this to my team. I'm just worried about how they're going to respond to some of them. Primarily the like people buy four things and four things only ever. Those four things are time, money, sex, and approval, peace of mind. I'm going to get reported, Bruce, if I share this with my team. Can we break a couple of these down and maybe talk through the harder ones?
Sure.
Let's break them down. I really like these. I think there's so much value in here. And you know what? I know Kevin Baumgart is sales coach, but you know, as his students, let's talk through these a little bit. Sales is like golf. You can make it complicated or you can simply walk up and hit the ball. I've been leading and building sales orgs for 20 years. And my advice is to walk up and hit the ball.
I think number one and number six are so correlated. So that was number one. Number six is be valuable and useful is all you need to do to sell things. Help people out, become their friends, send interesting posts, write birthday cards. Just do things as if you are their neighbor. And I think that correlates really well with one, because I think me included will overthink the like, okay, how do we get to the next thing? Well, we've got these 15 leads. I got this. Like, should we automate it? How should we write it? And it's literally, wait, stop. Like, what would help them the most? Like, can I send them something that would help them the most? Like, hey, are you still interested in this? Or, hey, are you going to be at this show? Would love to buy you coffee and just learn, like not asking for anything. I think a lot of those correlate together, especially not just for a first order, but I think for really keeping the business after. Because people remember and hold on to emotional connections just like they would if you, like you could fulfill their service. Yeah, sure. I bet five other people they name could fulfill their service too. But do you guys have that emotional connection that helps?
People think I'm my team makes fun of the way I sell because I'm just kind of a quirky salesperson a little bit sometimes. And I'll do things that are very unconventional. People are like, why are you doing that? And it's like, dude, you just want to get them to like be your friend, you know? But I think one and six are also different in the sense that you don't need to overthink sales. You just need to hit send. Just hit send. If you hit send 10 more times than the person next to you, you will sell more, period. Don't overthink it. At the same time, don't think about making the sale. Just think about being their friend. And I think there's some people in our industry that do a really good job at this, right? Like who comes to mind as someone that is just is more friendly than they are a salesperson?
I said it before, but I think Ryan Moore is the epicenter of that, like for so many years, for 20 years, probably helping, connecting people, building stuff that people need, you know, introing people, sending people interesting things, you know, and then when you will need something, or you need something, you guys are there.
I think it's Ryan's a great example of this. And the story that I make up in my head is, you know, when we're ready to buy, we haven't been ready to buy new presses. Eventually we will. We are buying rocks, period. I won't even think about it. Cause Ryan met me 10 years ago and I told him, hey, my business partner's just, you know, we just bought M&Rs. It's going to be a minute when I have the power to make the, and all Ryan's just cared about is being a great friend. And, you know, just being there, we've gone on runs together, golf with Jared, no Ross, we've gone to meals together. We don't ever talk about presses ever, period. But when that day comes, I know that's going to be my call. And there's no even question in my mind, right? And I think those people that are great salespeople, they think beyond the t-shirt and they think beyond what they're actually selling. And all they almost like blindly, like they don't worry about it a little bit, you know? And when the time's right, the time's right. Nick Wood's another great example of this, right? Obviously, Graphic Source sells great services. You know, are they the only one in the industry? No, they're not the only one. Are they the best ones? They're one of the best, I think. Are there other competitors out there that you could go to? Probably. But you've got Nick Wood and Lucas and, you know, you've got a relationship there. I think it's the same thing with, you know, our SNS reps. It's the same thing like Bruce. I was just at Lollapalooza all weekend with Gildan and Comfort Colors. They just become your friends, you know, and when they become your friends, you buy a little bit more, I feel like. Is there any other industries, are there any other brands outside of our industry that you feel the same way in your world, maybe like in any other things that you see?
Oh, I would say, well, in our industry, I mean, I think a lot of the folks at AS Color are the same way too.
Same way.
You know, if they're in your area, they'll hit you up and they're not like asking for anything. It's just like, let's hang out. I want to learn from what you're doing, how things are going.
Yeah. I mean, I went to New Zealand and Clive was like, come to our employee party, like come hang with us, you know? And we DM on Instagram. There's a relationship there.
You do number two really well. And not every sale is about this, I don't think, like where it's all of number two is a reminder. Sales is about people and it's about problem solving, not solutions or tech or chemicals or whatever. It's about people and solving problems. I feel like yes and no, but you know, some people are just like ready to buy. They're just like, give me that. And I feel like in probably when you're trying to buy something too, it's like, I already did the research. Like, just give me, like, move me forward. Don't create friction here. But you're out trying to solve problems. You guys have constantly, you know, pivoted into different spaces, whether it's the trailer, the some, you know, testing live stuff, doing all the different stuff, trying to solve different problems. How do you think about that and give that sort of solutioning characteristic to your team though, to do it, so you're not also pulling the weight all the time?
I think we like to think about, if you can take, I want to try and generalize this a little bit. If you can be on the other side of, if you can think about who you're selling to, maybe it's an HR person, maybe it's an executive assistant, maybe it's a buyer for a company, maybe it's the marketing person, and you can put yourselves in their shoes and try to make their lives 1% easier and also make them look 1% better, you've won the sale. So if you can take something off their plate, make something easier, take away the decision fatigue, build their trust in some way, and they look better to their boss, you've won the sale. And so I think the problem solving is actually just putting yourselves in their shoes and truly like making their lives easier, you know? And it could be as simple as like, if you're dealing with a parent and they have to order all the garments or they have to get all the sheets and sort everything, you might just make them an easy form, or you might bag and tag their order for them because it just makes their life easier. It's one less thing that the parent has to do. They're going to be more appreciative that you bagged and tagged their order than anything else, right? So I don't think it has to be grand. I think you just have to really put yourselves in their shoes and try and solve something for them. It doesn't have to be big.
I think the last thing that this list missed, which reminds me, based on what you just said, is how do you delight the customer as well through the sales process? And by delighting, I mean, how do you beat their expectations? Like if they're just expecting the box of shirts, like you said, you open it up and you know, they're tagged and they're set aside and maybe they have people's names attached to whoever, you know, is grabbing it or whatever the deal is. I remember when we went to Printed Threads before, he likes folding the shirts vertically and made it so it's easier to pull out. And at the bottom was, like he'd put a little toy or a little gift thing at the bottom that people got. Sometimes it's just been responding back to customers lightning speed, you know, over email or text or whatever it is to make someone feel really special. I think that's the bonus, the number eight piece to this one that really keeps people excited.
Bruce, what about number four says people buy aspirin. They buy vitamins occasionally and at unpredictable times. Sell aspirin. What does that mean?
Yeah. What I would love to know, probably from your perspective, is how do you feel like you relate that to a shop owner, right? When there are certain shops that have niched into their space so well that they are selling aspirin, as in they can turn around such a high volume so quickly, you know, the client has to go with them.
So people buy aspirin means people buy things that help them solve their headaches.
Something that they need.
Something that they need. People don't need vitamins, and those are proactive. And so people don't buy proactively, they buy when they're in a crunch. Is that what this means?
Yeah. To me it means you're buying something that more so is in the need versus the want category. You're in a blue ocean. You're the family industry selling, you know, live printing, right? And they are able to customize anything possible, right? And so we need something to activate with our customers. It needs to be incredible. It needs to be on time. It needs to be like really well designed and thoughtful and put together. Boom. Like they're it. We bookmark them because they're the only ones that could do that. It's a little bit of the blue ocean side. And I think it goes back to Jared at AKT that we had on the other week, right? The music merch stuff. I mean, very incredible, powerful niche area. There's very few people. Like these bands need this stuff based on these stories. They're crazy. They, you know, they're going from tour stop to tour stop. They will jump at the ability to be able to help them get something at a specific location last minute. They know exactly how to do it.
I just threw this in ChatGPT because I was a little, I don't know. I said, what does this mean to my company? Because I have my ChatGPT kind of dialed to Campus Inc. And it says, aspirin will solve an immediate painful problem. Vitamin promises a future benefit. So at Campus Inc., aspirin might be, we can launch athlete merchandise in 48 hours and can capture demand before it disappears. We handle licensing, royalties, fulfillment, and athlete payments so your staff doesn't have to. We help retailers monetize NIL without carrying risky inventory. That's aspirin. A vitamin pitch would sound more like, we help enhance athlete engagement. We offer innovative merchandising opportunities. We can strengthen your brand over time. The takeaway, lead with expensive, urgent problems you remove, not the general benefits you provide.
Do you feel like you sell aspirin today?
I think so. But I think you can also sell aspirin in your marketing, in your language. Something I try to challenge my team to do is to use like your... When you type and you talk, you should actually show the pain points and what you're solving, rather than just like being fluffy about your wording.
Is there an example of that or like something off the top of your head that you remember?
I'll have to think about that. In the way we talk about, like, we would say stuff in our marketing, like industry leading payouts. And I'm like, how about we pay athletes really, really well?
Whoa. You know, like, that's great. That's great. It's as if you're just talking to a neighbor or to a friend. You're just saying it. You're not going to tell them, yeah, we do industry. They're like, what?
Yeah. So Bruce, in the world of AI sales and automations and drip campaigns and cold outreach, how do these like seven bullet points contradict, play, you know, like, can it replace? Because these are very humanistic things that are here.
I think these things still ring true. So this post was originally from May of 2020. That was before the release of like public ChatGPT and stuff, which I think was only 3 years, maybe like 2023, 24. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think these have changed by any means. In fact, I think that sort of the AI stuff has just made it so that, you know, okay, hey, who are the 10 people I need to be able to just execute this on today based on the fact that maybe we haven't talked in the last 6 months and they placed an order 6 months prior, based on the fact that we haven't even just communicated and they haven't ordered. And so there, boom, I have 10 of this side, I have 10 of that side. And now I can execute on these different things and be able to create those bonds or friendships or offer value or, you know, reword the way I said something last time. But I don't see... I mean, I haven't tried it. I mean, maybe you could like copy and paste this in there and it could start emails for you, but I just don't see it being able to craft something like that. Like the rewording that you just said, as well as you just banging it out and it helping you, like it's Microsoft Clippy and it's just giving you the list of folks to be able to help save time. So you don't have to dig for those.
Yeah. I think like as powerful as AI is and how much it can help you automate, there is still human depth that it will miss. And there's still human thoughtfulness and emotional response that still exists. So, you know, if there's a human on the other side of the decision-making process, you still need to meet humans with humans. And I think that will still win over time until the AI is just making decisions on the other side, and then it's robots talking to robots, then it doesn't matter, you know? But it's like, you know, when you pull up through a drive-through window and it's automated now and robotic, you know, there's no please and thank yous and have a wonderful day from Chick-fil-A, you know? So I don't know. I think there's some weight to this. I would share this with your sales team. I think everyone should steal this and post it on their boards and have a discussion about it.
I'm doing that internally. I like this.
Yeah.
I have something else, but it's a little bit long. So I'm going to save it for next time.
Can I talk about an exercise? I'm not going to share the results of it, but I want to tell you about an exercise that we did. Actually, this was something we did in Fabric with our group, and I did it with my team. It was called, Bruce, have you ever done this? It's called Kill Our Business.
No, I haven't.
Basically, Michael, one of our coaches, went through and gave us a worksheet that says, if we were to kill our business, how would we kill our own business? And I'm trying to pull this up so I can read it to you a little bit. But it basically says, the purpose of this exercise is to help a leadership team identify vulnerabilities, threats, frustrations, weaknesses, and disruptive opportunities before someone else does. And the goal is simple. If a competitor wanted to destroy our business in the next 12 to 24 months, how would they do it? And there's some ground rules. Assume the attacker is smart, well-funded, fast, and ruthless. Think like a startup. AI native, a disruptive competitor. Quantity over perfection. Every idea is valid. And you have to go through these different exercises. You have to come up with the attack plan. What would you attack first? Then you have to come up with, what frustrations do customers already tolerate from us? What would a faster, simpler, cheaper competitor do? Where are the most vulnerable, what parts are most vulnerable first? And then part two is the customer perspective, what makes customers stay, what makes them switch. Then there's like this internal truth session, a defense strategy session. It's this whole worksheet. And kind of mind blowing. Have you ever done anything like this?
I have not. I wish I would have. Without sharing your responses, for your competitors to see, did it expose anything interesting for you?
Yeah. So I did it myself first, and then I gave it to our entire leadership team to do independently. And what I wanted to see is like, do we all agree upon the same things? And that's actually what I found to be the coolest, is the same things came up. Like, there were patterns. And I thought that was the coolest part, was that our leadership team was aligned on what our threats were. Like, we weren't all in different directions.
Did it change any of what you guys are going to be working on or doing the rest of the year? Or was it just surfacing these things and like, okay, we know about this, we'll set this aside?
Yeah. So we run EOS, and so we have our quarterly traction meeting. And so what I've done is everyone has submitted all of theirs. And I also I'm taking some time, so I'm actually going to be presenting on this on Monday, but I'm feeding it all into Claude and letting it create a synthesized report for all of us to review as a team. And then I want us, as we determine what our rocks are for next quarter, I want it to play a little part of it, because it should highlight what is urgent and important in the company from a consensus standpoint. So it will create a little bit of decision-making. It'll steer our decision-making. But it was just interesting to see, do I have blinders on? Did my team has blinders on? Or are we all very self-aware? We just know what we're up against. Self-aware is okay. Blinders are dangerous.
I would have loved to have done this when I was running Printavo, and I feel like there's already things that pop up in my head about it, but I think things have changed as also with AI stuff now too, that would change my responses now, but I really like it. It's a good exercise.
I think the coolest part about it is, if you were to take a company like Custom Ink, and they did this 5 years ago before AI, right? Because Custom Ink's a technology company, and they have this amazing front end and all this stuff. And they were to do it now, I bet you it would look so different, Bruce. Given how
easy
it is to create
tech. I'm sure everyone's is a little bit different.
Yeah. So kind of a cool exercise. Something we did in our fabric group, and it was super rad. So I'm like learning that I really like these simulation exercises. It's like playing in the Matrix. Yeah. War games. What's hot right now? Mahjong.
Yeah. I actually tried that. Someone showed it to me. My attention span's so bad though. He was trying to explain to me the game, and 3 minutes in, I'm like, we did play one. We played one game. Do you know how to play?
I learned how to play. My mom used to play like a long time ago on like her iPad or something. I don't know. It's like an old, I don't know, but I heard it's like popping and crazy. It's the new pickleball. It's the new pickleball. This is fun.
All right, pronouncers, we're thankful for you guys joining us on this episode. We've got some more resources on the next one, and actually on the calendar, I'm looking at a couple of guests coming up too. So that'll be a fun one. Have an amazing week. Make sure to check out also, we were just chatting with Brett. Speaking of Brett at Printed Threads, Manifest. He is running a conference. Made Lab is running their conference called Manifest. Go to madelab.io. You can check it out. It's at Impressions Dallas as well. So it's kind of a 2-for-1, which I think is kind of cool. So anyway, check it out. Have a good one. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.